It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're glad to have you with us. Who is the most surprising 3-0 team? Right now, there are 4 of them, a quadruple, if you will, but could be 5 coming up on Monday night if the Bills can remain perfect. So find us online at Amy After Hours. I'll put a spot up on our Facebook page very soon. Who is the most surprising 3-0 team? And of course, we're going to get to all of the other games, including the Panthers, who scored 36 more than any other team so far in week number 3. I'm sure you saw that coming. Per the usual, when the Chiefs need a big play the last couple of years, it seems like it's the defense that's dialed up.
The ball right now is in between the 12 and the 13. The marker is right at the 12. Fourth down and a half yard. Robinson and Algier in the game. Split backfield behind Cousins. Cousins goes under center. Cousins takes the snap. Hand off Robinson. Sweeping left and in the backfield, and he is stopped. Robinson gets knocked down at the 16, and the Chiefs will take over with 51 seconds to go. Kansas City turns away Atlanta on fourth and a half yard.
And before that, the Chiefs had to come back from a deficit themselves, a couple of times, actually. Part of that, and in dominating the time of possession, they had the ball 10 minutes more than the Falcons. The career night for Carson Steele, 17 carries, 72 yards. He was fired up. He was the Westwood One guest following the broadcast with Ryan Radke and Mike Golic.
Is your sister getting married tonight?
She is. Yeah, I missed that. But I would say they're kind of, we should be pretty excited, you know, for the game. But they're all watching right now. So
who had a better night, you or her?
I don't know. I think it's a toss-up. I ain't going to lie. You know, you might have to ask them that one. I think I might beat her just a little bit. So
I would hope they had. Did they have TVs set up at the reception?
Oh, yeah. No, okay. I told them to set up some TVs, but if too many people were watching the game, I told them to shut it off. So make it about her night.
I think that's funny, although I'm not sure I would be able to do it. Miss a sibling's wedding to work. Of course, my work and Carson's work, completely different. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Again, at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page. But right now, we're pleased to welcome Cody Tapp of Cody and Gold 96.5, the Fan in Kansas City. Cody, let's start with this perfect record. Well, not a perfect team, but a 3-0 start. How important is it, considering that it's the Chiefs and they're the Super Bowl champions?
The big advantage is for the eventual number one seed conversation, but they kind of buried that last year too, right? When it was like, well, maybe they can't win on the road or if they're not hosting the AFC title game, and they still did all those things. So yeah, we take almost anything in Kansas City with a grain of salt from a regular season perspective, but I don't think it's nothing that they've won 9 games in a row. Final couple regular season games, all 4 in the postseason, first 3 this year, a lot of good teams. They're just better at finding ways to win than most teams. There's a reason why they've had the success they have.
Let's talk about the defense on the final couple drives for the Atlanta Falcons. What stands out to you?
Well, I think if you don't follow Kansas City regularly, which you almost can't avoid now,
right,
Steve Spagnuolo is better than almost anyone in the league at making adjustments. They got picked on a little bit in the first half, but the fact that they completely locked down Algier and Bijan Robinson was probably the biggest key to the victory on the defensive side. Obviously, Nick Bolton makes that massive fourth down stop, but without controlling the run game in general, the game could have been a bigger problem. They got, you know, Atlanta was down to backup offensive linemen, but they got a lot of pressure on Kirk Cousins in the second half, and I think it just threw the Falcons off their game.
The versatility always stands out to me about this defense. They've got a lot of veterans. They've got guys who can rush. They've got guys who will blitz if that's what he wants to do. But they've also got guys who can cover. And as much as they will give up some points and some yards, it's that bend but don't break mentality when games are on the line.
Yeah, Shamari Connor was great tonight. He was the guy who missed a tackle on Drake London that actually gave him more of a chance there in the fourth, but then he was just involved in every single play. They're using Leo Chanel versatility-wise. They're using him on offense in the red zone, or at least trying to. So they're just Brett Veach deserves a lot of credit. I think we give him a lot of credit here in Kansas City because Connor and Chanel and all these other guys they seemingly have like backfilled the roster with do a really good job. But they're also their defense works because Chris Jones is the best interior defensive lineman in the NFL, and I think Trent McDuffie is the best cover corner in the NFL. And when you've got those two positions, you can kind of build everything else you do around that.
And a real tough performance for Nick Bolton, who is also banged up.
Yeah, so he actually, I wasn't impressed by him early on this season. I remember a former Chiefs linebacker, Derek Johnson, when I was covering him in Kansas City, he had told me after coming back from injury once that the first thing, or the longest thing it takes to get back is your eyes. He's like, you're just guessing, and nothing looks right, everything looks kind of, you know, too fast. And for the first couple of weeks, it definitely felt that way with Nick Bolton. Not tonight. He was great. He was the whole key to the entire run defense, what I was just talking about in the earlier part. And, yeah, he must have been cramping, I guess is what it was, because he is holding his back, hip area two different times in that game. Came back in at the right moment, right? He went pretty much untouched on that final stop against Bijan, but this is the best game he's had all season.
Kansas City host Cody Tapp is with us in the wake of Sunday Night Football. The Chiefs starting out 3-0, getting their first road win of the year against the Falcons. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Early interception in the end zone for Patrick Mahomes capped what was a 17-play drive. But this team so often can recover. When they're missing pieces like they are with Isaiah Pacheco, is there any team that's better at adjusting and at using other weapons? Because that always stands out to me.
I'll say this, it never looks pretty in the early going, but no, they're better at replacing them than others. Well, that was like the whole team of last season. Like, they weren't even replacing everybody, but they found out really fast they didn't have any wide receivers. And it was, well, how are you going to make this work despite that? Given enough time, they always had enough to kind of do it or figure it out. You'd ask me to start 3-0. Does this mean anything in the regular season? Well, it means more if there's no Hollywood Brown. So they're missing their number two wide receiver, their number one running back. You're like, well, that's already a bad start. They've already benched their starting left tackle for the first two games of the season and switched over to Wanye Morris. That's not normally the recipe for an undefeated team 3 weeks into the season. So I'm always kind of impressed. I also think it helps that Rashee Rice has decided to play like a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL. Whether everyone will agree upon that at the end of the year, we'll see. But three games in, and he's on pace for 130 catches and 1,600 yards. I don't know if that's going to last, but at the moment, you can cover a lot of things on offense if you got one guy, doing that.
Mm. What's going on with Travis Kelce?
Okay, so I've tried to dive in. My long stance on the air has been, he'll never age. Ageless man, never going to be a problem. You'll never stop him. I had stood by that for the first 2 weeks of the season. I'm going to have to evaluate a little harder maybe after this one. Patrick said after the game, and I do think that there's a big truth to this, that they're still giving him far more respect than they do Rashee Rice. So what's happening here is they're still double and triple teaming Travis Kelce, pretty much saying, we'll let anyone beat us but him. So I still think numbers are coming for him. I could be way off base here and, happy to call back in later if I'm wrong. I still think he'll end up a 1,000-yard wide receiver. I just think once Hollywood went down, they're like, well, we'll just stop Travis, and especially now Pacheco's gone. We'll just stop Travis, and they won't be able to score. They weren't counting on Rashee Rice being this good. Mm-hmm. And once the league course corrects to, well, damn, we better respect Rashee Rice, then I think it's going to get a little easier for Kelce. They also just had a couple of miscommunications. Like tonight, he threw that ball towards the end zone. He thought Travis was going to go up. Instead, he settled down, and that's not commonly seen between the two of them. We're almost always on the same page.
Mm. If you had this dilemma, would you skip a sibling's wedding for work, Cody?
I don't think so. I mean, God, it's tough for Carson Steele because the poor guy gets told a year out. He's an undrafted free agent. He's not even guaranteed a roster spot. He probably thinks he's going to make the wedding up until, like, July 15th this year, August 1st. Who knows how long he thought he was making that wedding. I think if it's his work, you don't have much of a choice. The only way I'd have to do is if I was like going to cover a Super Bowl or something. I think outside of that. The other question, though, is if you're having a wedding for a family member and one of those family members has a family pet crocodile, How does that not make it to the wedding? That just feels like a near lock. I don't understand how Crafty J didn't come.
Cody Tapp is with us from Kansas City. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So Patrick Mahomes is one of those guys that can do pretty much anything that's asked of him, but he has gone through some early season swoons. I guess last season it lasted for months before he was able to lock in. What have you seen from him so far?
I don't think he's looked like himself the first 3 weeks. Tonight was a really good example of that. He missed some throws, easy throws. He again likened it to trusting his arm more than his mechanics, but like there were some throws tonight that you're like, oh, Patrick, no. And it's three straight games with a pick that you're like, oh, no, don't throw that.
Right.
The one tonight where Justin Simmons grabbed it, the one to Travis Kelce last week, and in the first week he threw a really bad pick too. So you're like,
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Common to see 3 weeks into the season for him to have 200 yards a game passing and more or just as many, I guess, interceptions as he has touchdowns. I think it's off probably because this is the second straight year that they're having to like refine themselves offensively. It's new left tackle now, obviously, new weapons. I know it's Rashee Rice and Kelce, but all the other wide receivers and the roles inside of that are changing again. And I just don't think he's found a comfort in it. Tonight is a really interesting case study in it because it's not like it still doesn't work in any way. Tonight, I would liken the offense to they both seemed discombobulated or out of rhythm, but they also moved the ball incredibly well. You mentioned they had a 17-play drive. They scored on a 13, 11, and 11-play drive. So it's not like they never moved the ball, but something still feels like a hair off. I view this team more as if it clicks for a week or two, they'll hammer some teams. If it all just kind of lines up, but it just hasn't done that for 3 weeks.
They've gotten these three wins by a combined 13 points. And even going back to the final six games of last year, they weren't blowing teams out. Why are they so confident in games that are close and late?
Okay, so they've won nine straight games by a combined 54 points.
Whoa.
That is the lowest amount of points anyone has had a 9-0 stretch in NFL history. So you're not wrong in saying these games seem close. I think there's two reasons behind it. One is what you're seeing tonight. We talk about the offense, right? They had a chance to go up two scores tonight. They got the ball, 4 minutes, 5 minutes to go. Go down, score a touchdown, end it, and it's over. And they have an uncharacteristically bad success rate in those moments. I can't tell you how many times. It feels like 50 in the last two seasons where they could just go down, score a field goal or a touchdown, essentially put the complete back against the wall of the team where they have no chance to win it because it's two scores, and they never seemingly score in that situation. The other thing is, like it or not, despite pass or run stuff, in scoring situations, Andy Reid is he's top five in most conservative coaches. He had a fourth and two today, kicked a field goal. He had a fourth and one last week on the 1 yard line, kicked a field goal. He is team take the points. Whether you like it or not, and I tend to think that he could be more aggressive in those situations, he's team take the points. And so what happens is tonight, had they, gone for a fourth down and turned one of those into a touchdown, well, then it's not a one possession game. They don't put themselves in harm's way. And I think because they're winning doing it that way, it's hard for Andy to justify making the switch. Like you're saying, why confident? Because the result's the same. At the end of the day, they get the stop against the Falcons and they win the game. So I think they have a hard time being like, well, I should change the way I live. Why? If the result is always winning.
It's easier to be team take the points when you have an automatic kicker like Harrison Butker.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. I don't know why I'm giving you the stats tonight. The funniest stats, he's missed 19 extra points in his career. He's only missed 4 kicks of 40 or less in, like, real kicks. Why the hell do you always miss extra points? No, he's the most automatic kicker in the league. Justin Tucker, there's something wrong there, no matter what. I don't know what's going on there. But even before that, Harrison Butker's been the best kicker in the league for, like, I don't know, 18 months. And in a league where 50-yard field goals seemingly go in every time, even more so for him. I think they were dead serious about maybe having him try a 67-yarder last week. And I think if there were 4 seconds left on the clock before half, they would have. So, yeah, I think, Andy, it's by nature a take-the-points guy. But I think you got Harrison Butker. You're probably never going to not take him.
Cody Tapp is with us following Sunday Night Football here at After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's talk about the AFC West, because the Chiefs have their next game against the Chargers, who did fall on Sunday. What are your impressions of the division at this point?
They've taken over Harbaugh's personality, which I thought was like a really good sign for them. I think the Broncos are a joke. I'm glad they won today or whatever. It's fine. I don't take them seriously at all. It's even take the Raiders even less serious than I did last week after they fell to the Panthers. So hard to care about them. The Chargers were the only real competition, and I thought that that was a year too early to even entertain that. And then they're making Chargers-like mistakes. It was foolish to have Herbert play today, because you knew you had the Chiefs at home. That is a far more valuable game. Losing to the Steelers in week 3 doesn't mean anything, but if you get your quarterback in a boot, and maybe he's not available for Sunday or limited again for next Sunday, you've made a huge mistake. I think they're going to end up going 6-0 in this division. I don't think it's going to be close. I think they'll win the division again. I think next year we can have a real conversation about the Chargers. But until the Broncos or the Raiders figure out quarterback, they're going to be nowhere near this thing.
Last Christmas, when the Raiders beat the Chiefs, one of the things that Antonio Pierce said is, we figured out how to defend Patrick Mahomes. Here's a blueprint. And we know they didn't lose again. The Chiefs won the Super Bowl in Vegas and, of course, have started out now with 3 wins. Looking back on that moment, how is that a turning point for Kansas City?
I think that, in a way, they had just accepted their identity after that game. That was obviously the worst loss they've had in years. But they accepted who they were, which was, Rashee Rice is our best weapon right now, and we're going to have to grind out ugly wins in which, what we just talked about, take the points as part of it. I think it helped them understand who they were. What they're doing to the Chiefs is what's happening league-wide. I think it's why scoring is way down. I think we're just in one of those swells where defenses are winning against offenses right now, and until everybody kind of reconfigures what works against this style of defense, Pierce wasn't wrong in a lot of ways. Where they did slow him down and frustrate him, I just think that the mistake people make against Patrick Mahomes is when they get that little edge, like they get him for just 1 minute. I think it was Shea Serrano is actually a good credit for. He's a writer. He writes a bunch of different stuff. He had sent out a tweet once which kind of perfectly encapsulates the mistake people make against Patrick Mahomes, which is, you can beat him. You can beat him in an individual game. The one mistake you don't want to make is then also pissing him off, because then he'll want to rip your head off. Once you do that to him, once you like, oh, we figured him out, well, now he's just a man possessed, and you've opened this door to, like, he'll do it over my dead body stuff. And I think that's a lot what you see when teams finally figure him out for a little bit. He'll still drag them across the finish line, no matter what it takes.
Cody, this has nothing to do with football, but did you actually do the hot dog derby at a game last week?
Sadly, and here's the bad news. I think I'm barreling towards, and I've yet to find the stat line, I'm barreling towards a world record. I have now raced in 4 hot dog derbies at the Royal Stadium. 4. I am 0-4. I finished 2nd twice. There's only 3 people. 3rd twice. I can't win the thing. This most recent one, I was up against a former U.S. men's national team member, Matt Beisler. So, like, I had no chance. There was no way, unless he fell, I was winning the race. But in the other ones, man, I had a chance and I blew it.
Can you see out of that hot dog suit?
Only kind of. No peripheral vision. And then depending on how fast you try to run, your vision straight ahead is a challenge, too. They're just not, no arm movement. They cut you off at the legs. It's not like a normal run. If anybody ever gets it, I got plenty of other words of advice, even though I haven't won it. I can tell you how to the things to avoid that apparently I've done wrong.
You've got to find some of the videos and GIFs that are up. So you can find him at Cody B. Tapp, T-A-P-P. He's the host of Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. And the Chiefs off to a 3-0 start, even if he can't win a hot dog derby. Cody, thank you so much.
Of course, thanks.
I can't imagine. I might fall flat on my face, maybe get a broken nose, but there's also a chance I could run the wrong way, or maybe I could win. But I want to be in a hot dog derby or the president's race at Nationals Park. That's good stuff with Cody. And the Chiefs off to a 3-0 beginning to this season and haven't lost yet since that Christmas Day massacre. Okay, it's hyperbole. Love to have you join us and join the conversation at A-Law Radio or our Facebook page. Who is the most surprising 3-0 team with the Bills potentially joining on Monday night? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Gino from the shotgun, hands it to Charbonnet, left side, he's in! Touchdown, Seahawks! A four-yard run, and as Jim said, they're doing everything right on the left side of the offensive line. Right over his left tackle goes Charbonnet. He's in for six. Second down and seven. He stays in the game to Charbonnet, and he gets the handoff, and he looks for running room, and he pops it outside, near side, down to the one. He's in! Touchdown, Seahawks!
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Seahawks already had the upper hand coming into this game because there was no Tua for the Miami Dolphins. And then Skylar Thompson only lasted about 2.5 quarters before he got hurt. But I appreciate that the Seattle Seahawks did not take this game lightly against Miami. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There was a 17-point opening quarter, so the Seahawks came to play. And you hear both of the Zach Charbonnet touchdowns with Steve Rabel on Seahawks radio. And also, I'm thinking, since it's the second week in a row with a long connection between Geno Smith and DK Metcalf, we might have ourselves a TD of the week candidate.
Geno out of the shotgun, McIntosh in the game, and now he swings out to the left side. Geno steps up in the pocket, looks, holds, throws deep, got DK open, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, runs away from Miami, touchdown, Seahawks! A 71-yarder to DK.
Four catches for 104 yards, and that score, again, Seahawks radio. So it was a burst of offense early on for Seattle. Not a whole lot after that, but the defense did the rest. And again, Dolphins were moving on to Tim Boyle by midway through the third quarter. But managed just to 1-for-12 on third down. They were over in the red zone. Oh, crazy enough, both of these teams were flagged 11 times. So this game had 22 penalty flags for nearly 200 yards, which is brutal. That's about how many yards of offense the Dolphins had. But here's one note about Seattle. And I know they're catching teams like Denver, who's starting a rookie quarterback, right? So the Seahawks are able to catch him in his very first game for the Denver Broncos. Then they catch the New England Patriots. And yes, they've got Jacoby Brissett, but they're also in a brand new system and trying to work out the kinks. And now the Dolphins, who get down to Tim Boyle as their QB. However, it is worth noting, you can only play the team in front of you, and the Seahawks have held each of their opponents under 150 passing yards. So the Dolphins, they fall to 1-2, and what I heard is it's the first time below 500 in the Mike McDaniel era, if we can call it that. So were there any positive takeaways?
You know, I thought the positives were it took care of the ball. I did think Skyler did a good job operating the offense.
So there's that. He was 13 of 19 when he had to leave because of a painful rib injury. That's according to Mike McDaniel. So, yeah, this was just his first start of the season in place of Tua. And Tua is going to be out for at least a few more weeks, though it could be longer. Boyle was signed to the Dolphins practice squad just before week number one and had to be moved to the active roster once Tua went on IR. Thompson apparently did want to play through the rib injury, but it was too painful. And so McDaniel put Boyle in instead, and the Dolphins don't have any idea how bad it's going to be and won't know until he goes through some testing.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but such is the nature of the National Football League. And I don't think, I'm not looking for excuses. I don't think anybody in the locker room is. It's tough, but the National Football League's tough.
So credit the Seahawks. They have taken care of their business. They've not let their guard down, and now they are 3-0. But are they the most surprising 3-0 team to start this NFL season? At Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page, the post is up. Looking for your responses. Mike says the Steelers are the most surprising 3-0 team because I have no faith in my squad. Another tweet agrees. The Steelers, I'm amazed they pulled off a win on Sunday. We'll get to Steelers Chargers at the top of the hour. John says it has to be Minnesota, a difficult three games out of the gate at the Giants, plus the Niners and the Texans. And then, let's see, another one has to be the Steelers. Tony says the Minnesota Vikings. Jeremy, I'll go with the Vikings because I didn't see them getting good QB play. We do get one vote. Ed goes with the Seahawks. He says it's a bad offensive line. And he says horrible play calling when backed up near their own end zone, leading to a pair of safeties. He says, I love my Hawks, but shrug emoji. So one person going with the Seahawks is the most surprising. Yeah, I think it's pretty surprising. But I'm also excited to see what happens once Mike McDonald actually gets his defense installed, because right now, they're not where they want to be. And we learned that in our conversation with Greg Bell of the Tacoma News Tribune last week. All right. Online at A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. We'll continue to take your responses. And we're looking for the most surprising 3-0 team. But whether it's a surprise or not a surprise, it's a pretty sweet place to be.
Just the mentality, how hard our guys are playing. Felt like we played physically. The guys are flying around on defense. Place was electric. So our communication was on point given how loud it was. So I think we gave their operation some trouble. The fans did. So shout out to the 12s on that one. Definitely boosted us on that one.
Mike McDonald getting accustomed to the support there in Seattle. And yeah, it's a lot louder when your team is on the winning end. Just five undefeateds remaining. We've got 4-3-0 teams. The Bills could join them. Who is the most surprising? 855-212-4227. Coming up, you want to talk about surprising, the way the Rams rallied past the Niners with half their team on IR. And also, looking at the Arizona Cardinals hosting the Lions. It was a game in which offense was at a premium, but somebody's got to win. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network, Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. We kick off with Sunday Night Football in Atlanta.
Third down and 7. They moved it back to the 13. Mahomes in the gun, 2 receivers left, 2 to the right. Piron is the running back to Mahomes' right. Here's the snap. Mahomes back to pass. Mahomes looking. Throws left side. Caught by Smith-Schuster. Turns it up. Diving into the end zone. Touchdown, Chiefs.
Ryan Ratke on Westwood 1. The Chiefs beat the Falcons 22-17. Patrick Mahomes threw for 217 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. Elsewhere on the Week 3 scoreboard, the Rams over the Niners 27-24. Joshua Carty with a 37-yard field goal with 2 seconds to go. Ravens beat the Cowboys 28-25, Panthers 36, Raiders 22, the Seahawks over the Dolphins 24-3, Lions 20, Cardinals 13. The Packers beat the Titans 30-14. Broncos 26, Bucks 7. Steelers over the Chargers 20-10. It was the Giants over the Browns 21-15. Colts 21, Bears 16. Sam Darnold 4 touchdown passes. Vikings over the Texans 34-7. And it was the Eagles over the Saints 15-12. Baseball, the Mets beat the Phillies 2-1. The Red Sox sweep the Twins 8-1 and 9-3. Padres over the White Sox 4-2. For the White Sox, 120th loss of the season, matching the 1962 Mets. Dodgers over the Rockies 6-5. Shohei Ohtani with his 53rd home run. Cardinals 2, Guardians 1. Cubs 5, Nationals nothing. Rangers beat the Mariners 6-5. Yankees over the A's 7-4. Aaron Judge with his 55th home run. Giants 2, Royals nothing. Brewers over the Diamondbacks 10-9. Angels 9, Astros 8. Rays beat the Blue Jays 4-3. Tigers 4, Orioles 3. Braves over the Marlins 5-4. The Pirates beat the Reds 2-0. The Reds fired manager David Bell. WNBA playoffs, Aces over the Storm 78-67. Lynx 102, Mercury 95. The Sun over the Fever 93-69. And the Liberty beat the Dream 83-69. I'm Peter Schwartz.
They break the huddle with 15. They're up on the line with 10. Juszczyk is the only back in. Ayuk and Jennings are slotted left. JJ's inside. Tongis is right. Third down. Purdy back. Purdy time. Purdy throws. Downfield wide open. Caught. Juwan Jennings has a hat trick in LA. Touchdown! San Francisco!
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The call on the Niners radio network, both San Francisco and Los Angeles missing key pieces for this NFC West battle. And the Niners were twice up by 14 in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium without Christian McCaffrey or Deebo Samuel or George Kittle. But it was Juwan Jennings with a career game, 11 catches, 175 yards and 3 touchdowns. And that last one capped a 91-yard drive to the middle of the third quarter. It was about 6.5 minutes, and the Niners looked firmly in control, up 21-7. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. L.A. does start to turn the tide, though. A 70-yard drive over 3 minutes. Now, this is late third quarter, so still plenty of time on the clock. And turning to one of the guys that Matthew Stafford relied on so heavily last year when the Rams made a surprise playoff appearance.
Whittington in motion. Open up. Give to Kyren. Down the left hash mark. Steps through a tackle. Steps into the end zone. Kyren Williams with his second score of week 3. And LA is back within one possession with 3:53 to go.
So that's second Kyren Williams touchdown with J.B. Long on Rams Radio pulled L.A. within 7 points, as he says. San Francisco multiple times, though, had the ball, able to tack on field goals. The issue is that they weren't using those possessions to put more points on the board. So, yeah, they still had a 10-point lead on a field goal in the fourth quarter, then missed a long kick with about 2:45 to go, and the door then is wide open for Matthew Stafford and the Rams. And when I say wide open, I mean Stafford can still chuck the ball, you know. He might be in his mid-30s, but there's nothing wrong with his arm. And it was a dazzling chuck downfield, 50 yards through the air from Stafford to Tutu Atwell. And instantly, the Rams are back in the red zone.
Second down and goal from the 4. Stafford making an adjustment, play clock at 6. He's back in position in the shotgun. Atwell in motion out the right side. They run the delay up the middle. Kyren Williams in for his third touchdown. Diving straight ahead for a hat trick. And an extra point would tie it. The field goal unit is coming on for one.
They do end up with the 24-all tie. And yes, what a great game for Kyren Williams. His third touchdown. He has 89 yards on the ground. And if you haven't seen it, we've got the poll up for your Monday MVP. As we say sayonara to the weekend and we head into a Monday, we're asking you to choose your MVP. And Kyren Williams is one of the candidates for the San Francisco-LA game. So the Niners get the ball back. They're tied. But they punt after a minute. That's as long as they can hold the ball. And that was really an issue for them late in this game, is that they just couldn't put together quality possessions. So they punt the ball away. Xavier Smith, get this, first NFL touch of his career. He's never touched the ball before. First touch of his entire career, and he returns it 38 yards to midfield. Then there's a defensive pass interference call against the Niners for 25 yards that right away puts the Rams into field goal range.
Here he is, the sixth round pick out of Stanford. His first regular season game at SoFi Stadium, and he's going to attempt a 37-yarder from the right hash in a 24-24 ball game. Final 5 seconds of regulation. Cardi from 37 to win it. The rookie with the right foot. Kick on the way. And it's a Cardi party at SoFi Stadium. 27-24. Their first lead of the game with 2 seconds left.
How about that? Talk about a flair for the dramatic. But as you can imagine, this was a victory that brings with it a ton, not just of joy, but a major confidence boost. They lead for all of 2 seconds in this game against a division rival at home, but they're able to pull out the win. And for the Niners, a lot of missed opportunities, a lot of yards and points left out there. Even though they had the double-figure lead, I was expecting more from a team that has so much experience and still has been denied winning that elusive Super Bowl. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Brock Purdy, 22 of 30, nearly 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. He didn't have Christian McCaffrey. He didn't have Debo. He did not have George Kittle. But there was plenty of offense.
We're all pretty frustrated. So we just got to watch the film, get better from it, and you know, we win and lose as a team. Everyone has their moments, but man, more than anything, I just feel like it comes down to complimentary football, man. You know, once defense gets a stop, we have to score.
I thought we had every chance to win that game. I thought also we had a number of times in the game we had opportunities to run away with it, especially early in the game, having that 14-point lead, and they hadn't really moved the ball on our D, and starting with that fake punt. I think after that, and I feel like he went like 8 of his next 10 or something like that. So that got him back in the game there at the end. A couple, you know, we want to go in and score on that drive. Obviously a touchdown. We end up getting a field goal. I believe it made it 2 scores. But then they went right down and answered with a field goal. I thought we had a chance to make it a 2-score game. We ended up missing that field goal. And then I think they got a bomb where they went down there right away. Didn't even make them really work for it. They got a big chunk. Got behind their defense too much today. Gave him some easy ones in that way, and you saw what happened at the end.
In almost every single statistical category that football teams chart, the Niners were better. They had 130 extra yards. They had more first downs. They had more time with the football. I mean, this was one of those games in which, as Kyle Shanahan points out, there was this turning point, the fake punt, the Rams decide, why not? Why not us? And once Matthew Stafford found that rhythm, he was off to the races. And it doesn't matter who's catching the football. Tutu Atwell had some huge catches from him last year. I know they're missing both Puka Nacua as well as Cooper Kupp, but they still have guys that can catch the ball. As long as they're in position, Stafford will find them once he gets comfortable. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence talking about the NFC West, where you've got the Seahawks at 3-0, the Rams and Niners both at 1-2. And then the Arizona Cardinals hosting the Detroit Lions on Sunday. And it was a quick start for both of these offenses, actually. The 3 touchdowns in a row to begin this game. Marvin Harrison hauled in another 10-yard score. So the rookie second generation wide receiver. He's got three scores now. Amon-Ra St. Brown holding his first touchdown catch of the year, and that capped a 13 play, nearly 8 minute drive for the Lions, though they did miss the point after attempt. Late second quarter, though, this is the one that I think should be the candidate for TD of the week. Trickeration by the Lions.
Jared working out of the gun. Takes the snap, he's back. Four-man rush. Goff sets, throws, got Amon-Ra. Flips it on the hook and ladder. Coming inside the five. Wow. To the end zone.
Yes.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yes.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, baby, how beautiful is that? Goff to Amon-Ra. Flips it back to 26, who takes it to the house.
That little pitch to Jahmyr Gibbs as he comes busting through the line into the second level of the defense, it was heads up by Amon-Ra. And according to Jared Goff, they have practiced that a lot and were looking for an opportunity to use it, and he thought that was the right time. The call with Dan Miller on Lions Radio. So Gibbs takes off and goes 20 yards for the touchdown, and the Lions have a 10-point lead at the break. And once they pick off Kyler Murray to start the third quarter, even though there was a Jared Goff pick later in that quarter, the defense was game. A pair of fourth and one stops, and there were seven punts in the second half between the two teams, so not a whole lot of offense. In fact, a near scoreless second half. But Jared Goff, he started out like a house on fire. He hit his first 14 pass attempts, nearly 200 yards. David Montgomery was over 100 yards. The Lions, as a team, were able to control the game, not just with the defense, but also with a 187 rushing yards.
We were able to, you know, possess the ball and continue to put a little bit of pressure on them. You know, when you're able to stay up two scores for most of the game, that, you know, that applies a little pressure on your opponent.
It's hard to hear Dan Campbell there, just off mic. Is that the same way Jared Goff is? If that's everybody, then I don't want to use it. Okay, so Jared Goff, he was thrilled about the defense.
Our defense is playing really well right now. I mean, that's three straight games there where they're doing some good things, and ultimately, you know, we'd love to stretch that game open and make it a three-score, four-score game and end it a lot earlier than that.
As for that Lions D, they held the Cardinals to 1 of 9 on third down, 0 of 2 on fourth down. The Lions also able to use the run, like control the ball, control the game to dominate the time of possession. And yeah, for Kyler Murray, a lot of frustration in this one.
We just didn't make plays. You know, last week we executed. This week we didn't execute when it was needed. You know, came out the first drive, executed, and then, you know, obviously turned the ball over, trying to give Marv a chance.
By the way, Aiden Hutchinson leads the NFL with 6.5 sacks already. Will McDonald of the Jets, he's got 5. Kyle Van Noy of the Ravens has 4. And a couple other guys in there have 4 as well. But it's Aiden Hutchinson. He's started out with all that energy and explosiveness and the promise of this Lions season. So they're now 2-1. They recover from last week against Tampa Bay. The Cardinals fall to 1-2. So every team in the NFC West other than Seattle is sitting at 1-2. We still have a lot to get to. Let's start with those 3-0 teams from the AFC, like the Steelers. That's straight ahead. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.